In This League presents...
Surprise, motherfucker.
Bet This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Pay that man his money.
Get in the action at InThisLeague.com.
It's Bet This League on In This League. It's Bogman, it's Welsh, and it is week 18 of the NFL action. We're not going to even talk about week 17. Why even consider it? Bogman, why would we even think about how we did on certain things? Because it was chaos. Did I have an Antonio Brown 7.5 catch? That shouldn't even count. Antonio Brown left the field dancing. That one shouldn't even count. Put it on the record books, Bogman. Will you put it on the record books?
You can. Week 17 was like shouldn't a count. Regular week 17. Like it would felt like the last week, like what this week usually is. So, you know, this week is... even more chaos, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't think we have as much COVID stuff, and the COVID restrictions have been changed. So that's a little bit less, but there's still guys going on the list every single day. The day when we woke up, Deontay got put on it. Justin Fields got put on it. We're going to wake up on Friday morning. Somebody new is going to be put on it.
Yeah, there'll be a few more.
Saturday and Sunday, there's going to be a bunch of it. So
there's some good lines to take advantage of, though, I'd say. There's some good lines, some big lines, and... unfortunately, you have to play a little bit of a guessing game, but there are teams that will not play their starters the full go. We talked about this on In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, or actually it was on the radio, I'm sorry. But like two teams in particular, like the Packers and the Bills, seem like prime teams that will not roll out their starters for the game. Maybe at all, or maybe more than a quarter. I mean, we could wake up Saturday and Aaron Rodgers could not play and it could be Jordan Love. And same thing with the Bills. They could do that. So it's one of the situations where, you know, I think the Packers one may have even been announced. I mean, it moved from like 11 down to 3. Yeah, we'll go over that. But like the Bills situation, you know, what are they truly playing for? If you take it now, their situation might already be locked in Saturday, as we mentioned. If Kansas City wins or lose, what is it? If they win or lose?
No, you're talking about Tennessee. Not Buffalo.
What was the Buffalo one? I don't think Buffalo has anything to go for.
Well, Buffalo is clinched, and well, they can lose the East. So they clinch the AFC East title with a win over the Jets or Patriots loss. But they can't get up to the number one seed, the highest.
Maybe I'm thinking Tennessee, where we said
Tennessee so if the Chiefs win on Saturday, Tennessee has to beat Houston to clinch the number one seed. And remember, now that 7 teams in each conference make the playoffs, there's only one bye in each conference. So Green Bay has locked it up. Tennessee has it. All they have to do to win is to get it is to beat Houston, which doesn't seem like a tall task.
And that's one of those scenarios. So I'm really what I'm getting at, and it's going to become clearer as the weekend comes on. There's going to be teams and scenarios where guys are not going to roll out an entire half, not even a half or an entire game. So that is potential. Like I kind of like, and we'll mention it in this episode, kind of like the Jets this week, because it's such a massive line. It's actually already moved half a point in the other direction now because it's over 2 touchdowns. And I don't think there's any guarantee that Buffalo is rolling out their starters the whole game, and the Jets have been playing a little bit harder in the back half. So there's some of those. So there's actually some good opportunities. I actually, when I look across it, there's a lot of teasing opportunities if you dig that. Last week,
honestly, teasing might just be the way to go this whole
week. Yeah, I got screwed a little bit last week. I've been hot. I think I lost my first teaser. I think I won my other one, or did I lose both? Or I don't even remember. Let me see.
I lost everything. That's all I know.
Yeah.
All my bets were bad.
One of mine was null because Keyshawn Vaughn never became available on any bets. If it had, I had said above 25 rushing yards, and he had 31, I believe it was. Right. So I would have got that. But that's null, or you have to give me a win because I did give my marker there. The Antonio Brown one did not work out. I had the Chiefs. I had the Kansas City over, which hit, and then the Rams plus 2.5. But didn't the Rams?
They won by one.
Okay, so I got that one. So that tease hit. But then I think it was the Colts and the San Francisco one, and the Colts losing is what killed me. So I won one teaser, lost one teaser. So I'm now officially 6-1 on my teasers on the year. This is a great week to tease because of all the chaos. You can get huge 20-plus lines on some of those big teams. Later in the show, I've got 2 teasers for you, and I've got a mega teaser, a 3-team teaser, where you can get your plus money if you want. Gonna go very light on the parlays. I'm gonna get one parlay for you. We got some lines that we really like. We're gonna look at where the money was last week. Obviously, some DFS plays, but I was kind of curtailing around it and doing a really poor job about it. Boggs is going to lay down his most exploitable matchups. But to remind you guys, check us out inthisleague.com. You guys can come along, play all the fun stuff, do the DFS contest, get in the betting room. We got a couple dudes right now that are hot as hell.
Chad E is that fire. He's Dylon, because he spits hot fire right now.
And we got two sharps in there. Chad and Aaron are a couple of our ITL members that are in there, and they share their bets. And when those two are on something together, good things usually happen. So we all like to share where some of our bets are, share the wins, share the losses. That's just one little iota of our community. We've got lots of other cool content, live streams, secret shows. We've got the GroupMe rooms. You can be involved in stuff and check out all the extra things that we do. And you support us. Support us. We're not asking for anything here. Not that we should, but we're not asking for anything outside of checking us out. And if you want to support us, you can come up on the Patreon and you can have so much fun. InThisLeague.com. Do it for the new year. Do it for your boys. Bogman, where are we exploiting this stuff? What are we doing?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is just understand who is playing for what. And like I said, let's just kind of,
I'm still confused about it apparently,
and go over it. So I'm just going to go over it. So in the NFC, the Packers have clinched the number one seed. They get the bye. There is literally nothing for them to play for.
Yeah, so that's going to be an all Jordan Love game.
It should be. I know Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play, but I think even if he does play, it'll be a drive or two, yeah, and then Jordan Love will come in for the rest of the game, and that's that. The Rams are 12-4.
By the way, I didn't mean to interrupt you. He wants that for all the chaos that's going on with the MVP award. You know he wants to come right in, throw a couple touchdowns. He probably has already said, I want two touchdowns, and then I'm out, because that helps his MVP status, I think. And if you don't think that has anything to play with it, you're crazy. But go on, Rams.
The Rams are the number two seed right now. They're 12-4, and they own the tiebreaker over the Bucks. So as long as they win, they will keep the number two. The Bucks will probably win two, and they'll be three. The Cowboys are 11-5. They're the four seed. That's that. I think 2 and 3 can flip, like if the Bucks won and the Rams lost, but the Rams have the tiebreaker over everybody. So the Rams will be the two seed. The Cardinals are 5. They can clinch the NFC. Actually, they can clinch the NFC West.
Yeah.
I forgot they have the tiebreaker.
If the 49ers beat the Rams and the Arizona wins, Arizona would take the NFC West.
Right, because Arizona has a tiebreaker over the Rams, even though the Rams have a tiebreaker over the Bucks and the Cowboys.
Yeah, wild.
So, then the Niners winning their end. So winning their end, the Eagles have clinched. They're going to be the 7th seed. That is, they're going to be the 6th or 7th seed. That's it. The Niners win in their end, but if they lose and then the Saints win against the Falcons, then the Saints would be in and the Niners would be out. So
literally the Niners or the Saints are going to be the final spot in the playoffs.
Right.
And as much as you'd like to say the Niners are a good, it's a 50-50 because the Niners are playing an incredibly difficult team and the Saints are playing the Falcons right here.
And you know, the Rams can drop from the 2 seed. I didn't realize this. They could drop from the 2 seed all the way down to a wild card and be playing on the road if they drop the game to the Niners and the Cardinals beat the Seahawks. So, some of these bets the public is making so far this week are wild. But so just keep that in mind. In the AFC, 5 of 7 spots have clinched. The Titans, we already went over that. They get the number one seed if they either beat Houston or if Kansas City loses Denver. That's that. The Chiefs are at the 2 seed. They can jump to the 1 if Houston beats Tennessee and they win. The Bengals are the 3 seed. They've clinched the AFC North. They can get the number 1 seed overall too if both the Titans and the Chiefs lose. They could.
But they are without Burrow and Joe Mixon officially.
They're not playing anybody because that's not something it's such a long shot for them to get it. They're not going to get it.
I just want to point out, though, something you actually said on the radio that people haven't heard yet is you're kind of openly being like they're not going to play anybody. The only ones that are out are Mixon and Burrow. There are still DFS lines and money that are heavy. Yeah. That's fine. But Chase and Higgins.
But that's why Cleveland is -6. Cleveland sucks.
Well, because Burrow and Mixon are out, but those two wideouts are not officially out. So just before everyone's like, hey, there's nobody. They probably don't. Yeah. But I don't want to talk in affirmatives when that's not true. Officially, Mixon and Burrow are out.
They haven't ruled anybody out.
And that says, they've ruled Burrow and Mixon out. And that says plenty. But the wideouts are not
wide receiver. They haven't ruled any wide receiver out, but they ain't going to play. So I'll speak in affirmatives. They won't play. The Bills can clinch the AFC East title with a win over the Jets or a Patriots loss to the Dolphins. So they're playing for something. They're giant favorites against the Jets, 16.5. But, you know, if you saw them get up by 3 touchdowns, Josh Allen's going to see some pine. And I think Trubisky's going to end up playing most of that game anyway. The Patriots are 10-6. They can clinch the AFC East if they win and the Bills lose. But the Bills losing is null and void. So that's going to be, they're going to be the 5 seed. The Colts are 9-7, win, and they're in. That's all they need. They're giant favorites against Jacksonville. They're on the road. They haven't won there since 2014. But they're gonna have to put the boots to the Jags. The Raiders and Chargers, that's a loser leaves town match right there. The winner is in unless they tie. If they tie, I think they're both in unless somebody else loses. This one is here. I'll just read it. The Raiders can clinch a playoff berth on Sunday with a win over the Chargers or a tie plus a Colts loss to the Jaguars or a Colts loss plus a Steelers loss or tie against the Ravens. So if that's not complicated.
Clear as mud.
Right, exactly. The Ravens and Steelers are playing. They're both alive, and they both are playing in the early window, so they can't scoreboard watch. They just have to play each other hard. So these are the teams you know have something to play for. Some of them, like the Bengals, not going to be starting anybody. I can't imagine that the Packers let anyone play long, like Devontae Adams or Aaron Jones, any of those guys. I don't think Josh Allen gets much more than a couple drives, get the lead, and then put Trubisky in. So these are the scenarios. So I just wanted to get through that before I got to my actual exploitable match.
And I think it's important because I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to lead to where some of your bets might want to go, where some of our logic is going to be, is there are some teams that are desperately not going to take the wheels off. The Rams and 49ers ain't taking the wheels off. Steelers and Ravens ain't taking the wheels off. But Bills, Packers, those teams might. You know, Colts, they have to go balls to the wall. But there are some teams, even though there's some implicate-y type of things, that they're not going to risk their playoff run. Maybe outside of the advancement of moving outside of a wild card spot. That's why the Rams, that's why that's such a big thing. Like, there's a easy possibility that they could fall all the way down into a wild card. You don't want that movement.
Right, exactly. So, and I think they will. I think the Cardinals are going to win and that the Niners are going to end up winning too. So we'll see. But so there's still stuff on the line. But as far as individual matchups go, this is what I have as exploitable. Darnell Mooney, even with Andy Dalton versus Minnesota, because Peterson has been bad. They're down to Chris Boyd. On the other side, they keep letting these 100-yard pass catchers torch them. I mean, Devontae Adams just destroyed them on Sunday Night Football. So I think Mooney has a big game here. Michael Pittman against Jacksonville. You know, we said that the Colts are going to keep their foot on the gas. That's why they are double-digit favorites against the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars just let the Patriots score 50, by the way. And Pittman versus the corners here. I mean, it's probably going to be Tyson Campbell because he's been their best. He's a rookie, but he's 88 out of 121 rated quarterbacks. In coverage, he is terrible. Awful. He is the worst.
And you say terabad?
Terabad.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And then Renfro versus the Chargers. Asante Samuel Jr. has played well. Another rookie, though. 83 of 121. Mike Davis, 98 of 121. They are just not great at stopping Renfro. So I think he has a good day. So that's 3 wideouts. And then I'll give you a running back. How about Deontay Foreman versus Houston? This is a revenge game.
Love it.
You know,
love narratives
versus the Texans here. But even if the Chiefs lose and the Titans have clinched home field, Deontay Foreman's still their back because they have Derrick Henry coming back.
Great point. Either way, they are running him into the ground. Absolutely.
1,000,000%. So I love Foreman this week. That's, you know, Bubba gave me that one on the Lion Star DFS show and I did a little more research. I like that one.
Boy, I'll tell you, I just want to add into here because, hey, guess what? Shocker, props are hardly out whatsoever.
Yeah.
I
didn't even bother looking, dude.
I have one. There were literally 2 teams as I did this. The 49ers have some, the Chargers have some, and I like one. But I am probably going to keep my eye on Foreman when he drops and immediately take whatever that number is because it will go up. I think it'll go up by 5 yards within a day. Let's say they release it sometime Friday, I'm not doing a whole lot of props lately. I've been going a lot more spreads and stuff and teasers. I'm going to find the Foreman one and I'm going to take it because, like Bogman said, under either scenario, whether they're playing for anything or not playing for anything, is an advantage to them to just run the ball, because if they don't have anything to play for, why are they going to put Tannehill back 30 times and potentially get hurt? Yeah, or AJ Brown. All Foreman, I love it. I'm going to try to hammer whatever I can with that. That'll be one of the few props I try to tackle.
And then I'll give you some tight ends as my last one. Just the tight ends in the Pittsburgh and Baltimore game. Freiermuth versus Patrick Queen. He's 79 of 81 linebackers in coverage. He is real bad in coverage. Mm. And then Mark Andrews versus Spillane. Spillane is 65 of 81 in coverage. If it's not Spillane, it'll be Bush, who also blows. If it's not Bush, it'll be Terrell Edmonds, who's the worst. So I think Mark Andrews has a huge day here against Pittsburgh. And Marquise Brown just cropped up on the injury report on Thursday afternoon as well. So, you know, even more targets could be heading Mark Andrews' way.
I like that. Where the money lies. We had a ton last week. I think we had like 11 or 10.
Yeah,
I'm looking here.
So many. There was one double one here and one hit and one loss. But yeah, it was, I believe, four and five against the spread. Or was it?
No, because you said one hit. So actually, it's 5 and 5. There were 10. Five and five last week. Ironically, though, Bogman, the one him and I were on, Rams and Baltimore, that did not hit. The two that I was on did hit, by the way. I was on the Kansas City over and the New Orleans -7. Both of those hit. Bogman's +12.5 on Houston did not hit. I don't know why that was marked why was that hit? Oh, it was because everyone likes San Francisco. Yeah, that's, I'm sorry. That was the fade, because it was the Niners 12.5. You had +12.5. And then you liked the under in the, what was it? The Charger Denver game. And I don't know which one is the one
that one hit.
Yeah, oh, that one hit. Okay. So you hit one, didn't hit one. Well, actually you were 1 and 2 on those. I was 2 and 1 on where the money was. So it was Giants -6, Kansas City over, the Chargers under, San Francisco 12.5, and New Orleans at all hit. What did not hit was Philly Washington over, Rams Baltimore over, Miami +3.5, Chargers -6.5, and Arizona Dallas over. And once again, dude, three of the four highest did not hit again where the money was. The 98% on the under hit, the 98 on the Charger one, the 98% of 6.5 did not hit, 98% Miami 3.5 did not hit, and 99% Philly Washington over. We have seen such a trend of the massive, massive public money when we do this on Thursday. Those do not hit. I mean, I feel like it's like an 80% rate of them not hitting at this point.
It's a lot, man. It's a ton. So there are, this is why people fade the public every week. You know, you go, there are some people that just look and see what the public is betting on and just take the opposite. They don't even care about anything else. That's the one number they care about, because, you know, Vegas keeps the lights on and they have for years and years and years. So that's a big, just partial strategy for people.
This week we have got 9 that have over 90%, and 3 of the games represent a spread and an under. So it should be a wild one this week. Here are your 90 percentiles, and then we can decide what we like here. Here it goes. Minnesota -3.5 against Chicago, over 90%. Indianapolis -15.5 at Jacksonville. I'm going to give you 99s.
Yeah.
99% of the money, which I hate because I kind of like Indy there. The under also represents over 90 at 42. Washington -7 is a very high 90. And the under 38, 99%.
Nobody trusts the Giants to score all with Jake Fromm.
That's our second 99%. Tampa Bay -8 versus Carolina, 99%. Buffalo -16 versus the Jets, 99%, with the under 41 in the 90s. And the last one, Seattle +6.5 at Arizona, 99%.
That one surprises me.
I have got some fades here, Boggs. I am directly fading Seattle +6.5. I love Arizona to win this. They have everything to play for. I am a direct, and I should write Welsh fade. I am fading that one. I am also a direct fade of Buffalo 16, as people are going to find out, because I like the Jets +16. So I have two fades that are already in there. And the ones I'm going to jump on, Oh man, I really like the Tampa. Tampa, I'm going to go Welsh on Tampa. And then I like the Washington minus 7. So I'm going to go Washington football team spread Welsh, and I'm going to relatively avoid the other. So again, I have two direct fades. I am fading and I'm taking, these are 99 percentiles too, by the way. I'm fading 299%. I'm going Arizona minus 6.5 and Jets plus 16. And then I'm taking with the public Tampa Bay minus 8. And I'm taking the Washington football spread minus 7. So I'm fading 299 percentiles, Boggs. What are you doing on the public money right now?
I'm going to fade that Seattle one too. I don't understand it at all. I don't know why people are on Seattle at all. Like I get that they wanted to score points last week. That was, you know, maybe Russell Wilson's last home game. We'll see. I hate that one. I'll get into more details when we get into our picks, but I'm also going to fade Minnesota minus 3.5. I like Chicago plus 3.5. The other ones I'm not messing with. No, I don't. I like the Jets against Buffalo plus 16. I just think that number's too big, but I don't want to screw with it.
I'm surprised you're not with the Washington number with me.
Yeah, the Washington one is fine. It's not about, I hate the Giants, but I just don't trust Washington either. They've been so wishy-washy recently. Tampa Bay too, they love to not cover. Even though they're playing Carolina, don't want to mess with that. So I think those are my two, just the two fades.
All right. So that's how we're going to leave that with the public money. Bogman is just straight fading. I've also got two fades and two on. 9 over 90 percentile money on Thursday, which, you know, there's a couple advantages here, but I'm most likely, like, I'll tell you right now, I've personally not set any bets yet. And I'm not sure if I'm going to set any until we get closer into the week with COVID and everything like that, outside of maybe teasers. I'm a little bit more comfortable with my teasers than I am making straight bets. But, you know, we saw Green Bay, Green Bay Lions one move 7 points just off of a little bit of news. So you got to be careful about that on your early bets. Quick break. We come back. Bogman and I, reclamation time. We are going to end the regular season for Bet This League hot with our 5 best bets.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
5 best bets. Week 17 was rough. Bogman had been on the biggest heater of any of us on our 5 best bets. This week, it is going to be super low on props. Props have gotten wonkier and tougher with all the craziness, I think, that's going on, with the, especially from this episode perspective, because they're coming in so late. If we were dropping these, you know, and recording like mid-Saturday and dropping them before Sunday morning, it might be a different story because you got a better idea. Because I have seen a couple things that I've really liked. You know, I've jumped on Justin Herbert. I just missed Deebo Samuel by one dumb drop pass and one overthrow from Trey Lance. There's some good stuff out there that you can take advantage of, but at this point, there's really not. And so much so, Bogman, I think you said you are no prop bets this week, and I am only one prop bet in.
No prop bets for me this week. I'm going straight lines here. All right. So
let's rock it. 5 best bets. What's your first one?
Follow my logic here. The Saints win and the Niners lose, and the Saints are in the playoffs. They're playing Atlanta. I know it's on the road, but minus 4. The defense has been incredible. Cam Jordan has been, he had 3.5 sacks last week. He has been going crazy like the last 8 weeks. So give me Cam Jordan leading that Saints defense to a easy victory over the Falcons. I think they crush them. So give me the Saints minus 4 here.
You want to check out something interesting? It is 100% one of my favorite bets of the week. I'm with you on it. From a personal standpoint, I'd love for this to not hit because that means the Niners are in. If the stupid Saints lose and the Falcons win, I don't have to worry about anything that happens. I would love for this to happen. I don't see it happening. The Saints, though, Alvin Kamara has been a disappointment this year. The Saints' offense is going to be primed. Their defense has been playing great. Atlanta is not. Patterson has been kind of a struggle. Kyle Pitts is banged up a little bit. I don't care that this is in Atlanta, but you want to know a fun fact? This line has moved a half point in favor of Atlanta. It's now 3.5 on over on DraftKings, and I'm going to take that as we're recording this. So I don't know what the issue with it is, but I'm absolutely going to jump on that one. And a couple things I saw here. Each of the Saints' last 6 games have gone under. The Falcons have lost 10 of their last 11 home games against NFC opponents, and the Saints have covered the spread in 5 of their last 6 road games against the Falcons. Give me the Saints. I love this bet. I'd throw this in a teaser if you want, because you can get plus points. I don't think there's a need. The Saints have to win. The Falcons have been atrocious. I am tailing that. We usually don't tail our five best bets, but it's the very first one I wrote without even question. So I'm going to tell you with it. What do you got as number two?
I'm going to take Houston plus 10 and a half versus Tennessee, and follow my logic here. They beat them earlier this year, and this was one of those, what the hell just happened? Because Tennessee had been coming off beating, like, I know they beat the Rams in LA. This was after losing Derrick Henry. Everyone was shocked. They lost that. They won that next game too. It was against somebody good. I can't remember who it was. And then they lost to Houston. And I was like, well, this is typical Titans here. I don't think Houston wins this game. I think Tennessee wins this game. There's too much on the line for them. But I do think Houston's going to play them hard. Remember, the whole city of Houston hates the Tennessee Titans because they took the Oilers from Houston. So it's going to be, you know, end of season, hopefully big crowd here for Houston. Davis Mills has been playing well. That logic didn't work against the Niners. But I think the Niners D is way more dangerous than Tennessee's D is right now. So give me Houston plus 10 and a half in this big rivalry game.
I like it. My number two, I've kind of already mentioned it. I think it's actually moved to 16 at this point. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you always love the hook, but I'm fine with it. I'm going to shockingly take the New York football Jets. I'm going to take the New York Jets plus 16 points. And it is, and I know they're on the road, but it is so driven on one main factor. The Buffalo Bills are not going to keep their starters out there all day long. It's not going to happen. What are they going to be playing for with it? Even if they're up by a touchdown at half, there's no way Josh Allen is playing this entire game. Jets have been playing better as of late. Jets have actually covered the spread in all three of the last three games, three straight games. They've scored over 20 points in these three last games. And if there's no Josh Allen, if there's no Dawson Knox, if there's no Stephon Diggs in the second half, Buffalo's not going to, and also they're going to take out defensive starters. The Jets have been putting on. Braxton Berrios has been good. Michael Carter, I actually like in this game. I don't see 16 points on a game where Buffalo is going to pack it in. And if there's any weather, I'm going to take this one. Three straight covers for the Jets, plus 16 points. And if you tease it, you can get it into the 20s too. Give me the Jets. 16. I guess I got to change. I had 16 and a half, but it's already to 16 as we're doing this. Jets plus 16. That's my number two.
Oh, man. Number three. Only 16.
I want that. Damn. Hook. Anytime you can get that.
I understand. But for me, I'm going to take your Niners. I'm going to take your Niners plus four at the Rams.
It's actually moved. It's actually moved. Minus, I think it's 3.5. Four and a half. Sorry, let me go back to it. I'm just
move the other way.
Yes. It is now San Francisco plus 4.5.
Okay. Oh, well, then I'll take that hook. Yeah. Give me San Francisco you get the hook. Plus 4.5. Look, we've seen this Rams team drop important games at home. They lost to the Titans at home. When the Titans had just lost Derrick Henry, that's a big momentum game. You can't be dropping that. They barely beat the Ravens in Baltimore last week, which is just sad. The Ravens secondary is beat up right now. They should have been able to take advantage. Matthew Stafford has not looked right. He's throwing picks like he's Baker Mayfield out there recently. So I'm going to take your Niners. And look, Trey Lance was not perfect, but he looked so much better than he looked in that Cardinals game last week against Houston. And I know Houston's not a great opponent and everything, but whether it's Jimmy, whether it's Trey, I don't really care. I just don't let them make mistakes. Run on this Rams team. You can. The Cardinals went in there and ran all over them and won. So I think your Niners do that too. I think Bosa puts pressure on Stafford, forces him into a couple mistakes, and the Niners win this one to clinch a playoff spot. So give me the Niners plus 4.5. I love it.
Man, I hope so. I'm with you on that one. Here's my one player prop I'm going to take. There's not much out there. I wasn't trying to force it either. I was very open to not taking any player props or even there's a couple that were in my head. I kind of love these are not what I'm taking, but give me like a two player touchdown prop and put Debo in one of those. Debo also would help me if he got a receiving touchdown, but Debo scored, I'm just randomly throwing this out to you. Debo scored two touchdowns last time they were against the Rams. So, and he's scored, I want to say like six touchdowns in the last seven games. So Debo is obviously the dude. I love putting him maybe with a Jonathan Taylor in a touchdown prop, something like that. But I went away from it because I really like this one. And I'm going with Austin Eckler. And there's both sides that I like. Austin Eckler's total yards are 93, which by the way, 92 would help me in a chicken bet I have with Bogman. But he hasn't hit that a ton over the last 4 weeks, but what he has hit is his rushing prop, which is set at 56.5 yards, and he has hit four straight games. Last four straight games, Chargers are in it to win it, and the last time that the Chargers were up against, who the hell is it? The Vegas. Up against Vegas, 117 rushing yards for Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
So four straight, and last time against the Raiders, love it. 56.5 is your line for Austin Eckler's rushing yards. That's a pretty good one.
So, did you just say how many touchdowns he has this year too, by the way?
Eckler? Does he have like 16?
18.
18 touchdowns?
He has 18 touchdowns this year.
Can you believe some dummy took Alvin Kamara over him in our mock draft?
Which dummy was that? I'm not sure which one that was.
Number four.
For me, I told you guys I'm going to fade this Minnesota -3.5. I'm going to take the Bears. I know they're on the road and they don't have Justin Fields, they have Andy Dalton, but I just really don't like what we're seeing out of Mike Zimmer right now. And him throwing Kellen Mond into the bus. I mean, not that Kellen Mond matters. You know, your third string quarterback, who cares? Sean Mannion is clearly the second string guy, and he was terrible. But to throw him completely under the bus, the rumors have been that Zimmer is out here. I think these players are going to give. I think they're going to give up on him. It's over with for Zimmer in Minnesota, and I think the Bears win this game. Bears still have a good defense. Robert Quinn is having an outstanding season. So I think they win this one with some good defense, and even if they lose by a field goal, you get the hook. So the +3.5 is a bet that I just absolutely love this week.
Two bets you heard me talk about in the big money. I said I was with Tampa -8, and I was with Washington on the spread. That's where heavy, heavy money is. Well, guess what? You want to even play a little bit safe? It's my first teaser of the week. Yes, I am pairing those two teams together, Washington football team -7 and Tampa -8, which will tease them down to Washington -1 and Tampa -2. Washington -1 against Jake Fromm-led
New York
Giants.
Dude, if you don't get that one, I don't know what is happening.
What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do if you can't get that one? And Tampa Bay versus the Carolina Panthers. Tampa's still playing for stuff. Tom Brady trying to go out. They're coming off all the gross stuff with Antonio Brown. Tampa -2 against Carolina, and Washington -1 is your teaser. It'll be -120. I like to put two units on those, so it pays off a little bit better. Don't you love that one?
I love it. Yeah, that's what I just said. Like,
absolutely,
if you can't get that one, what is happening?
Yeah, what can we possibly do? My last one after Bogman's, I'm going to give you my mega three team teaser. But Bogman, what's your last best bet?
My last best bet is Kansas City -10 at Denver. And this one is because this game's on Saturday. They can't scoreboard watch. So they can't sit there and watch and go, oh, Tennessee won, we can bench everybody, or Tennessee's getting smoked, we can bench everybody. They just have to play it. So I think they get up big. I think they pound Denver into the ground. Denver's defense can bow up and play, especially at home, but you're either getting a less than 100% Drew Lock because Teddy Bridgewater's on IR, he ain't playing, or you get 100% of Brett Rippin, which is probably worse than 75% of Drew Lock. So I don't like whatever they have.
I'd rather have his dad. I'd rather have Mark.
Right now, I'd rather have Mark Rippin. So I think it's his uncle. But yeah, I mean, look, really? They're bad. Denver's bad on offense. Kansas City's really good on offense. I think the pieces add up pretty easily here. So give me Kansas City -10.
My mega teaser. It's not really a mega teaser. It's just a three-team teaser. I think there's a lot of people that don't like teasers whatsoever because of your odds. I get it. Many people will tell you don't go over three teams on teasers because it, you know, the odds dramatically drop. So check this out. We are going to take one of the teams that I had in the last teaser, the Washington football team. I love this one, dudes. Washington, I'm teasing again. We're getting -1. Now, where else are we going? We are going to take the New York football Jets and tease them from +16 to +22. Remember, no, if we have no Josh Allen, no Diggs, no defense in the second half, you have to have the Jets not lose by three touchdowns with that in that teaser. Braxton Berrios playing better, Zach Wilson playing better, Michael Carter playing good. And then finally, the last one we put in there, the New Orleans Saints, who have to win. And I get plus points on that, +2 now, from -4 to +2. It is Washington down to -1. It is the New York Jets +22 and the Saints +2, and that pays you +160 on your money. If you even like the other teaser I had with Washington and Tampa Bay, then you can pick and you can put in New Orleans or the Jets. You'll get the same odds and you're going to get essentially one and a half times your money on the bet. I love both of those. That's my mega teaser on my five bogs. You going to tease anything with me? You haven't teased all year. Can I get you to tease?
No, I'm not the biggest teaser guy, but I like the ones you put together here. These are ones that seem so automatic, but that's the reason why I hate teasers.
Sure. Like, I mean, the Colts
they seem automatic, and then if you don't get them, you're just so you're even more disappointed. It's almost to me like the double bet on your own team, right? The double bet on your own team, they lose and you lose money. It aggravates me so much. I get it.
If you want to play the mega teaser, go there for plus money. Tampa, Washington. That's probably my favorite of all of them. I'm absolutely going to play that. And those are our five best bets of the week. Final up, we're going to look at a little bit of DFS right after this.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
DFS plays. We've got a DFS contest, our final, I guess, regular season one. We probably do a playoff version of it. I don't remember what DK likes to run, if they do like a Saturday only and a Sunday only.
Yeah, so they'll do that. They might do a weekend one.
Yeah, we might roll one of those as well. Come and sign up in thisleague.com on a Patreon and you can get involved in those. And we're going to do a final one that will be dropped sometime here on Friday. They usually don't fill up until Sunday, so you have a chance if you sign up late. And then we'll do some playoff versions as well. And also, just throwing it out, Boggs, I imagine we'll probably do some type of like playoff bracket as well.
ITL.
So make sure you guys check that out in thisleague.com. You want to sign up. Bogman has got the DK plays. I've got the FanDuel plays. So Bogman, what do you like on DK this week?
I had to zag a couple times here because I had Justin Fields and Deontay both on this list this week, and both of them have COVID, so we're not sure if either one of them is going to be good to go. So for me, give me Kyler Murray at 7,400 as my number one quarterback this week. I just think that he's worth the price. I think they're going to have to beat Seattle. They got a shot here, and they're going to be playing at the same time that the Niners-Rams game is, so they can't scoreboard watch. So this is just really, really smart scheduling here. So give me Kyler at 7,400. My favorite one of the week is Taysom Hill at 6,200. I just, love this price because they have no offense except for him and Kamara. He's everything. So I think he's going to run for a touchdown, pass for a touchdown. I think he has a huge game here for the Saints. Plus, we both took the Saints minus the points against Atlanta. So it's an easy one to add up. The last one, I'm going to go with your boy Trey Lance. He's cheap. He's $5,500. I think he gets a start over Jimmy G this week. Look, if they sit there and say they're going to play both of them or Jimmy's going to start, obviously Trey Lance goes out the window.
But yeah, if Jimmy G starts, he doesn't do this Matt Rule bullshit. He's going to go out there and they're going to play one quarterback. Maybe they might do a little Raiders action where, you know, it's a third and one and they bring in Trey Lance. But if Garoppolo's good, he's going to play and you know what that game plan is. But we saw what Trey Lance, as frustrated as I got, we did see who Trey Lance was. My only concern with this one, Boggs, because I don't disagree with you on, you know, like he got a rushing touchdown taken away from him. He needs to kind of move through the pocket. Get a little bit more comfortable, and you saw the deep ball. He's not even close to finished product. My problem with him is the Rams defense. If you watch Trey, I'm just giving a little background because I'm so passionate about the 49ers, but the minute Trey Lance gets the ball, he starts juking and jiving because he's so uncomfortable with his reads and in the pocket. And you go from Houston to Aaron Donald and that defense, I'm terrified that they are going to eat his ass up. The only way they're going to be able to do anything is if they run the ball they run it really successfully and they get another week of game planning. I'm worried that Trey Lance is going to leave something on the table versus this defense, but we've also seen the Rams defense kind of fall apart. And if they can get the deep ball going, you might see another two touchdown day by Trey Lance, and he's super cheap. He's a good risk option. I left him off. You have one that I have on my list. I left him off because of that Rams defense and how unfinished he is. It's so apparent.
Look, they could get him. You know, they have a lot of stars on that defense, but I don't know, man. They let, a backup quarterback put up three touchdowns on him last week. So I just don't know. I think Trey Lance is going to be fine. For my running backs, JT is shock. Hopefully, what I'm hoping here is that the price scares people off because he's 9,300 and 10-2. He's super, super expensive. So love JT at 9,300. Eli Mitchell, your boy, at 6,000. You know, look, the Rams overall on rushing yards per game barely allow over 100, but they have given up huge totals. So I think if the Niners get going, they'll run right down the Rams' throat. Eli Mitchell, obviously, number one there. And give me Keyshawn Vaughn, Tampa Bay's, you know, Tampa Bay more than anything, why I will pick them -8 against Carolina, even though they love to not cover. I won't bet it, but they're still trying to find chemistry, man, because Godwin went down. AB is off this team now. Leonard Fournette got hurt. So if Leonard Fournette is not good enough to start in the playoffs and Ronald Jones isn't good enough, it might be back down to Keyshawn Vaughn. So they're going to try to get him the ball to get some rhythm with him moving into the playoffs. So I like him at 5,300. So my wideouts, like I said, Deontay was my big pay-up guy. So I kind of have three deals for you. I'm rolling with Amon-Ra St. Brown again. You know, I mean, the Packers probably playing a ton of backups. The Lions are playing for pride here. And, you know, that's what Lions have been playing for pride all year long. Like, we knew from week one they ain't going to make the playoffs. So, you know, this is what they've done. Other teams are getting in here like, oh, we're playing for pride, all that stuff. They're like, this is our bag, son. We've been doing this for years. So
I was born in this. I was raised in this fire.
Right, right. Well, it's the you adapted the darkness. I was born in it. So
you're a bad man.
Give me a Amon-Ra St. Brown at 6,800. Love that price. Jacoby Myers at 5,200. You know, just get Mac Jones a little bit more of rhythm. You know, he obviously looked great against Jacksonville, but that's Jacksonville. Do it again. Get him in the end zone again. And Braxton Berrios has been getting every target for the Jets. We expect them to be losing at some point to the Bills and come back. This dude's been getting 10 targets a game, and he's cheap. He's 4,900, so below the poverty line on DK. Love him. And my tight ends, I'm going to go with the guys I told you before, Andrews and Freiermuth. This did not pan out for me last week. Goddard was okay, but Knox was horrific. He got a donut, zero, nothing. So maybe it doesn't work out, but I can't imagine that Andrews or Freiermuth both don't have like at least five targets. So I love the price. Andrews at 7,500 is just going to beast, and it's annoying, and I hate him. He also went to Oklahoma, and he's a Raven. Don't like that guy, even though he graduated from our same high school.
Did he really?
He did. Yeah,
he's Desmond. I remember that. Desmond, okay.
Yeah. And Pat Freiermuth at 4,600. I mean, I told you the stat about Patrick Queen being 79 of 81 linebackers in coverage. Yeah. He sucks. So Freiermuth should have a good day. And Cam Brate. I picked Cam Brate for three straight weeks to score a touchdown every week. So let's make it a month straight.
Let's go.
Cam Brate at 3,100.
Let's go. Over on FanDuel, I am tailing you on the Taysom Hill. I actually like your Kyler Murray one. I want to say Kyler Murray's around 8,800, but I think I'm going to pay cheaper. I like Taysom Hill, 7,700 this week for all the reasons you said.
For Kyler.
Okay, that's actually not bad.
Yeah.
Especially depending on where I am with my money. I've got a lot of cheap options this week with only one real big pay up as far as what I'd like to do. So it might be advantageous to go with a guy like Kyler. I like Taysom at 7,700. Falcons defense garbage. This could be a three touchdown game for Taysom, probably two on the ground. Here's a sneaky one I like. I like Andy Dalton at 6,300. I know it's hard to say you don't like Andy Dalton. You talked about Darnell Mooney a little bit earlier. I'm going to talk about Darnell Mooney in a second. There's some good matchups against Minnesota's defense, which is kind of beat up. You said that team is kind of packing it in. Dalton gets a start. They're going to go Montgomery. But this might be a multi-touchdown game for Andy Dalton, and he's only 6,300. Super, super cheap for lots of activities in the garage all over the place. On the running back side, I gave you all cheap ones again. If you want to go, I love Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, that's just a chalk play. But I think there's three really good options if you want to play around. And I'd always say, like, you make your decision on the crazy high money guys, you know, don't let us, or you can play with their algorithms, but these are guys you can pair around. Ones I like, Samaje Perine, 6,500, no Joe Mixon. You know, Browns playing how they're playing, defense is who it is, but the
Bengals just torch them.
So. But yeah, and Bengals love to run the ball. And if they are without all of those wide receivers, they are going to just be pounding the rock, and it is going to be Perine, and he's only 6,500. I love it. Probably my favorite, and I'm actually shocked that you didn't say, is Deontay Foreman at 6,900. I would love to pair those two together, and I probably would. Maybe even, you know, put one of them at flex. Get a nice expensive running back to pair with them. It's a revenge narrative. Under any scenario, Deontay Foreman is going to be running the ball. I really like that one. I also like Michael Carter at 5,800 against the Bills for all the same Braxton Berrios things. All the, you know, Bills coming off, defense coming off in the second half, whether they're winning or losing, Michael Carter continues to keep rolling. 5,800. Those are three really good, cheap running backs that you can go with if you want to pair two with another solid guy. This is the most expensive player maybe on the board this week, and I would play him, Cooper Kupp, against the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers secondary is atrocious. They're going to move him around. Kawan Williams, who runs out of the slot, has COVID right now. And the backup, if you don't want, who's my guy that I was killing last week? Darby or whoever
Ambry
it was?
Thomas.
Ambry Thomas, trash. Lindor, whatever his name is, trash. The secondary is really bad right now. Cooper Kupp, they're also going for the Triple Crown. They have to win. Cooper Kupp at 10,000 makes all the sense in the world, especially with some of these other great cheap options. You could pair Darnell Mooney, 6,300. Something you didn't mention, by the way, the number one wide receiver to cornerback matchup on PFF this week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The number one. So he's only 6,300. I like that to pair with, especially if you do the Dalton Mooney thing. And Christian Kirk at 6,200. That's a great pairing. He's also rated in the excellent territory. You know, they have their kind of tiers. He's in that same tier as Darnell Mooney, as Christian Kirk is against the against the Seattle Seahawks. And he's going to be one of their big options this week. And you like Kyler Murray. I like Kirk. And then I'm just telling you, Fairmuth is the guy, 5,200. Yeah. I think that's such a great play. So, you know, if I could do, I think Kupp is going to be a lock for me. And I can get two of those running backs. I'm probably going to try to pair a guy like Kupp with one, at least one of those two wide receivers. And I think Fairmuth is going to be just a mainstay for me as far as what I set up for tight ends and friends. Those are our DFS plays for the week. FanDuel, DraftKings, do as you do. We're going to play a DraftKings one on ITL this week. And that is it. That is our regular season in the books. I don't know who's been hanging out with us. Appreciate that you do it. You can find us at InThisLeague.com. We are going to continue this podcast. Bet This League is actually the only portion of the In This League Fantasy Football podcast that will continue through the playoffs, as we will be doing weekly gambling picks. Probably the show is going to be a bit shorter because there's only so many games, but we'll be going through some of our DFS plays, our favorite best bets, and hopefully maybe even doing a couple other side things if people want to shoot us emails or whatever as we continue on. That's it. Hopefully I'm back to normal. Hopefully you guys and your teams are successful. Hopefully Bogman, Steelers somehow get in and
let's
maybe the
go.
Saints
Come on,
lose.
Jags. I'm a big Jags fan this week. Let's go, Jags.
Niners win.
Sorio.
And we want to point out, national championship on Monday. Bogman and I are putting everything we own on Alabama.
And I'm going to be streaming it too. So instead of Thursday Night Football, since there's no Thursday Night Football this week, I'll be on the national championship. So come hang out with me. It'll be fun.
All the money we own is going on Alabama. So if you want to tail us or watch us cry or whatever it is, we are Alabama Mayans.
Let's
all right,
go.
It.
Roll the Empire.
Break this league. See ya.
Oh, yeah. You think you're looking for a fist fight?